Hello and welcome to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton of Circle Podiatry.
And my name is Jonathan Brocklehurst. It's our aim to raise your awareness of just how important your feet are, to give you the solutions to your foot and leg problems, and to teach you how to prevent future issues.
So grab a cuppa, relax, sit back and put your feet up and enjoy learning about the one part of your body that often gets forgotten. That's right, it's your feet. Hello and welcome back to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, your global real feel-good radio station. My name is Peter Alton, your host for the day, and I hope you've had a fantastic time over the past week using your feet for some extraordinary things. We're going to be looking today at some aspects of your foot structure that we have touched on before, but we're going to look in a bit more detail. We're going to touch on some of the muscles, but I'm going to link that in as well with it being October still, and the fact that this week we are going to be looking at what type of problems you can get with your little pinky. And of course, I'm referring there to your little toe, this little piggy that went to market, as the nursery rhyme goes. So we're going to be looking into the little toe, not just the little toe, actually. We call it in the profession the fifth ray, and that is the fifth toe, which is the little toe, and its associated metatarsal. If you remember from the previous talk that we've done on the show here, the metatarsal is the big long bone that comes back from the toe back into the foot. And the fifth metatarsal is the thinnest, smallest of those metatarsals. The biggest, of course, being the one that attaches to the big toe. And you've got five metatarsals, one for each of the toes. So the fifth ray is what we're going to be looking at today. And I thought we'd kick off by just looking at, well, what is there in that fifth ray? Obviously, there's ligaments and things holding things together, but you've got the bones that we've talked about previously. You've got the metatarsal. Then you've got three bones within the little toe itself. So the metatarsal articulates with the proximal phalange, and then that articulates with the intermediate one, which then articulates with the distal phalange. And those bones are very, very small in the little toe. Okay, so they are obviously, if they're small, they're going to be more prone to being able to get broken and have problems with them. Not only have we got those bones, but we also have, of course, muscles that act upon the fifth ray. Now, there are some muscles which act upon it because they're actually attached to it, and there are other muscles that cause action elsewhere in the foot, but then cause pressure to be exerted upon the fifth ray. Now, my purpose today is not to go through every single structure that's in that area, because we would be here forever and you'd just get confused. I remember from college just how involved it was. And obviously, we have to do CPD as well from time to time to refresh on these things. But what I do want to do is just to get a sense of just how complex that part of the foot is. I know I've shared before that I really believe it's important that we understand what we're walking about on, that we understand to some degree just how complex the foot is. And in particular, this often forgotten part of the foot, the bit that doesn't really get paid much attention, as if the feet get paid much attention anyway. So anyway, we're talking about the fifth ray, the little toe and its metatarsal. And I just want to just quickly run through some of the things that I've thought of that we see in clinic that can cause problems in that area. So let me just run through, and then that should hopefully give you a sense of, there is a lot that can go wrong with it. And maybe some of you will actually be having a bells ringing in your mind as to saying, that happens to me sometimes. Or, yes, I've been feeling that a little bit more frequently now than I used to. Because a lot of these problems do come about from either overuse or use over time commonly called age. So let's run through some of these things. So probably the one we see most of all, and we certainly have people coming in with, is corns. So what is a corn? Well, a corn is hard skin. It's not just a layer of hard skin, though. It is a hard skin that has become indented because there's so much pressure there. So we see corns on the outside edge of the little toe, and also we see them on the outside edge of the metatarsal joint there, and also underneath the head of the metatarsal there, we can see corns and calluses. I should mention calluses, because calluses are just less intense areas of hard skin that can come. Often, before you get the hard skin, you can get blisters. If you've got a shoe that's rubbing, if you've got something that is causing abnormal friction on that area of the foot, then you can get a blister. So, blister, callus, corns. Another type of corn, a variation, if you like, of it, is ones that can be found in between the little toe and the next toe. It's quite a common place. And it's quite common because the little toe will often curl. If you look down at your feet, when you get a chance, take your shoes and socks off and have a look down and see if your little toe looks like it's curling. Very often, it and possibly the fourth are curling towards your big toe and possibly under the others even. And that, of course, will then mean that there's probably going to be some extra pressure in between those toes, particularly if you've got a lot of hard skin underneath that fifth metatarsal phalangeal joint, the joint the metatarsal makes with the toe. If you've got a lot of hard skin under there, that's usually a sign that there is abnormal forces going through that part of the foot as you walk, and that will usually mean that those toes are going to be squashed together and quite likely to get this soft corn. Why is it called soft? Well, believe it or not, it's because generally it is soft. And it's soft because it can't get no air to it. It's stuck in between those two toes, really occlusive, often a little bit of sweaty in there, and you get this white, macerated, soggy area of skin. Sometimes it can be right at the base of the toes, really difficult to get to, and we need to get in there with a little tiny blade, very intricate work, and scrape away, cut away that dead skin and get the central core of it out. But it will come back again because it's there because of pressure. It will come back again unless we address that pressure. And that's one of the things that us podiatrists would do. And we'll come to that a little bit later on in the show. There are also other places that you can get corns. You can get a corn down the side of the little toenail. In my experience, it tends to be more on the outside edge of the little toenail, but it can be on the inside edge as well. And the pressure there, again, causes this corn to form right next to the nail. They can be very painful because you've got the hard nail, you've got the hard corn, and in between you've got some nice little nerve endings that get aggravated. So they can be extremely painful ones. Moving on, other problems you can get in this area, extostosis. Talked about that in the show before. Extostosis is a bony growth. It develops as a result of pressure. Extreme pressure on bone will result in it trying to grow more bone, and that can lead to a lump of bone where it shouldn't be, which of course can have problems. Onychogryphosis. What's that? Well, that is thickening of the nail, and it can happen on any nail, but often the little toes are one of the first ones because they're in a vulnerable position. They're in a vulnerable position because, well, how many of you have stubbed your toes before? You know, you whack it on the corner of a bed or a desk or something like that. That sort of damage over time can cause the nail to thicken. And onychogryphosis is a very, very thickened nail. There's a slightly less thickened one, which we call onychorxis. But onychogryphosis is where the nail, well, if any of you have ever seen a pork scratching or eaten a pork scratching, you may not eat one again because those thickened nails, particularly on the big toe actually, do look very similar to a pork scratching. Onychomycosis. Anything with onycho in front, by the way, refers to nail. So the technical term for fungal nail infection is onychomycosis, mycosis being the fungal side of it. So that is, again, quite common on little toes. When a nail gets damaged, which little toes often do, When a nail gets damaged, then fungus can get in a lot easier. You can get fractures both in the toe bones themselves and also in that fifth metatarsal, and we will spend a bit of time on that later. You can also get sprains of the ligaments and then any of the muscles that are attaching. You can get Taylor's bunions. You can get curling of the toes. There's a whole range of things, many more that I haven't probably mentioned there as well, of problems that you can get with the little toe and the fifth ray. And yet it often gets forgotten about. It doesn't get paid attention to until the person is in a lot of discomfort. Those corns get left until they get really bad. We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
The station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer. Part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You've been listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio,
your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with the show.
I'm going to be doing a lot of talking in this show because it is largely down to me and not any interviews this week. So I'm going to break it up from time to time because you're going to be fed up with the monotony of my voice otherwise. We're going to have the song now, which is going to be by Mariah Carey. And because we're looking at the outside of the foot, we're going to listen to her song called Outside.
To explain, inherently it's just always been strange, neither here nor there, and always somewhat out of place everywhere. Somewhere halfway, yeah.
That was Mariah Carey and the song Outside. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio. The reason we played that song, if you weren't with us beforehand, is because the outside of the foot is what we're looking at today, the little toe and its associated metatarsal and some of the problems that you can get around that area. And I'm just trying to paint a picture at the moment of just how complex that area is. We talked a little bit about the bones beforehand. We talked a little bit about the types of problems that you can get, the number of problems. There are so many different ones. And we're just going to quickly run through the different muscles that either attach into those bones or act upon it. Now, obviously, within the foot, it's so complex that you can have a muscle acting on a toe bone on the other side of the foot, so maybe one on the big toe, which is flexing or extending the toe, and it will have a direct impact, of course, on the other side of the foot. So you could say that every single muscle is potentially going to have an impact on the outside edge of it. But there are some which are more specifically going to do that than the others. So I'm just going to run through some of those muscles that we're going to be looking at. Not in too much detail, because you don't need to know in too much detail, but you do need to have a grasp of just how complex your foot is. And to realize that if you get a pain there, it could be any one of these structures. And therefore, because you don't know which structure it is, if it nags on, it's worth getting it checked out, because the treatment for one type of structure could be very different to the treatment for another structure. And there are some fairly simple tests. We often don't need to do imaging in order to be able to tell what the problem is. So let's have a look. We've got the peroneus longus muscle. Okay, the peroneus longus muscle. It starts up in the leg on the outside edge of the leg. And it's fairly superficial, and it comes down and it comes behind that lateral, the outside ankle bone, comes around there and then curls under the foot behind the base of that fifth metatarsal and goes right the way under, attaching to the, if you remember from our previous show where we talked about the bones, to the medial cuneiform bone and to the base of the first metatarsal. And its action is to pull on those bones. So it's pulling from around the side of the ankle there and pulling under the big toe. So if you put your foot on the ground, let's just say put your left foot on the ground, and with your left foot on the ground, if you tilt your foot so that the little toe comes off the ground, that side of the foot comes off the ground, that is called eversion. And then if you lift your heel up as well, then your foot is going into plantar flexion. And it's those two actions that that muscle is responsible for. Another muscle called peroneus brevis is also responsible for the same motions. And that one actually does attach into the end of the fifth metatarsal there. Now, the end of the fifth metatarsal has got a prominence on it. And if you put your finger on your little toe and run it down the side of your foot, you will feel about halfway down the foot, maybe a little bit further, two-thirds of the way down the foot from your toes to the back, you'll feel a bump on the side. And that is the styloid process of the fifth metatarsal. And that's where that muscle attaches in there and pulls on. And in fact, sometimes with some sort of injuries, that can actually break the attachment off, and even the bone itself can fracture off that little styloid process, which can be quite a difficult one to heal up again. So that's two of the peroneal muscles, both responsible for eversion and plantar flexion of the foot. Then we also have a third one called peroneus tertius. Now, this is more on the attaches more on the front of the leg, and then it comes down the top of the foot and it attaches into the top of the base of that fifth metatarsal. So this one actually, it still everts the foot, but it actually does the opposite from plantar flexion, which is called dorsiflexion. So this time, if you had your foot on the ground like that, you would, again, raise the outside edge of the foot, and then you would lift the forefoot up, and that is the dorsiflexion part of it, and that's the action that that muscle is responsible for. It's very difficult to isolate just those muscles because you've got other muscles working in unison with them. That's just, again, how complex the foot is. So that's those muscles. Then you've got other ones as well, which also attach into the fifth metatarsal and the toe bones. You've got extensor digitorum longus. There's four branches for that one. Remember, we talked about that the other week. Four branches of it for each of the toes. And of course, one branch goes into the little toe. Flexor digitorum longus, that's under the foot. And that one does the opposite of the extensor tendon. So flexor tendons will cause the foot to plantar flex. So again, if you've got that foot up in, on a stool in front of you and you bend the foot away from you, that is plantar flexion. And if you bring the toes up towards you, that is called dorsiflexion. Now remember also that though extensor digitorum longus, flexor digitorum longus also have a brevis version as well, which is a short one. The extensor longus and flexor longus start up in the leg, whereas the brevis ones start within the foot. Then we've got the abductor digiti minimi, which is a muscle which just acts upon the little toe, and it starts in the heel bone on the outside edge and underneath, that is, and then it inserts into the little toe bones, and that is responsible for helping the little toe to abduct, which means move away from the foot a little bit. Now we also have some muscles which are called interossei, and they sit in between the metatarsal bones, and there's one particular one which attaches to the fifth metatarsal, and then it attaches into the fourth toe, and that acts more on the fourth toe, but obviously if it's pulling on the fourth toe, it's going to be still creating some force on the fifth toe as well, on the fifth metatarsal. And most muscles actually start and finish in bone, but actually the next ones, called lumbricals, which sit in between the metatarsals, they actually start from the tendons of one of the digitorum muscles. And their action is pretty complex. It extends in the toe and it flexes at the metatarsal phalangeal joint. Then the penultimate one we're going to talk about is the flexor digiti minimi brevis. So for the little digit, the minimus one, it's a short muscle, and that one literally will just help to plantar flex the little toe. And it also helps just to adduct it a bit, which means moving it towards the midline of the foot. And the final muscle I'm going to mention, which just shows just how complex the foot is again, is one called the adductor hallucis. Now, you'll remember the hallux is the big toe, and the adductor hallucis is, it's got various bellies to it, if you like. And one of those actually does come from right the way over the other side of the foot. And some of it attaches to the fifth metatarsal there. And then it acts to adduct the hallux. So bring the hallux towards the midline of the foot. But obviously, if it's doing that, it's going to be having some force on the fifth metatarsal as well. So the point of all this is just to show you how complex that part of the foot is. How many different things that can go wrong with it. Numerous things. We haven't even touched on ligaments. We haven't touched on the nerves, on the circulation to that area. We're just looking largely at the bones and at the muscles that are acting upon those bones. It's incredibly complex, and I hope that that makes you wake up to the fact that actually if you've got some discomfort on that side of the foot, you should be getting it checked out. And if you haven't got any discomfort on that side of the foot, it's worth looking at your shoes, seeing if there's abnormal wear on that side. If there is, then it's quite likely you will be getting some problems. Have a look at the uppers of your shoes. Is there unusual bulges where the little toe is? You're quite likely to have problems coming there. And getting things checked out. Go and see your podiatrist and get a foot health check done, if nothing else. Even if you haven't got any pain, go along, get a foot health check done. They'll be checking for all this sort of thing, whether or not there's any abnormalities in the way that your foot's working. They'll be checking for whether or not you have any skin cancers on there, any verrucas on there, any fungal infections. They'll be checking to see whether you've got any loss of sensation. looking at your circulation as well. It's very, very involved and well worth getting yourself checked out for. And yet, bearing in mind what I've just shared there, how complex this area is, how many of you have ever bashed your little toe, cursed a little bit, maybe sworn, hope not, and then thought afterwards, well, it doesn't really matter, it's only my little toe, I'm not going to go and get it x-rayed, I'm not going to go and get it looked at, it doesn't really matter, it's okay. Well, the vast majority of people do put up with foot pain for far too long without going to get it checked out. We're going to listen to a song now, and on that theme, it's going to be called It Doesn't Matter. It's by a band called Status Quo. Hope you enjoy it. And afterwards, we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the issues that can happen with the little toe and its associated metatarsal, collectively called the fifth ray. Welcome back. You're listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio, and that was Status Quo and It Doesn't Matter. And the reason that we played that song is because a lot of the time people don't think their feet matter, and particularly the little toe, the littlest little pinky, this little pig that went to market, people really don't pay much respect to at all. And yet, it is one part of the body which does bring a lot of people to us eventually. They put up with it. They put up with the discomfort that might come from problems with it. And as we've discussed already today, it is pretty complex. The number of muscles that are attached to the bones, the four bones that form the fifth ray, which is the toe and the metatarsal. And as you'll see as we go through some of the problems that people get, in a little bit more detail, I skimmed over just naming them beforehand, but we're going to go into a little bit more detail now. I think what you'll see is that a lot of the problems are caused by one particular issue, but the issue can come about from various sources.
We're going to take a quick break from the show now, so please don't go away. It's just time for our station sponsors to share a message about their product. Please hang on, and we'll be back in just a minute to continue the show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Nagging pain. We at Alka-Seltzer know that a small amount of the patient's own bone marrow and blood cells can treat many painful conditions with regenerative orthopedic therapy. This is an attractive treatment option for painful joints, back pain, sports injuries, and many other conditions. It may avoid the need for surgery altogether. Alka-Seltzer, part of a network of 50 RegenX clinics worldwide, where over 60,000 patients have been treated and helped. Alka-Seltzer. Life is more beautiful with less pain.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
That was an ad from our station sponsors. You've been listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio,
your global real feel-good radio station. So thank you for listening, and let's continue with
the show. And I just want to give you a heads up that the next bit of the show, actually, some of it was recorded a while ago. And it's actually talking about a rugby match, actually, some lessons I believe we can learn from a rugby match. And it was a brilliant match where England beat the Australians back in the last World Cup. So you might find yourself in a bit of a time warp. But anyway, it's always good to revisit victories like that, even if we didn't go on and win the whole thing. But anyway, I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. We can make the analogy, perhaps, of the little toe being a little bit like the winger of a football team, or in this case, a rugby football team. Now, in a team game like rugby, all the players play their part. You've got the scrum getting in there and pushing over the ball and winning the ball, and then it gets dealt out via the scrum half, the fly half, the centres, down through the backs. And they're the ones that are running forwards with it. The forwards do that as well, but the backs are the ones that are the faster ones generally, and the ones that are relied upon to really make inroads into the defences of the other team. And anyway, we got the pressure building up, okay? The ball gets passed out, the pressure is building up on the other team. And in our case, Johnny May got the ball and was able to score twice in the space of a couple of minutes, securing 14 points for England, which really was just a fantastic foundation to build upon, because they were then at 14-3. The Australians had actually scored earlier in the match with 3 points. We then got 14 points, which really did give a great confidence boost. But the point I want to make is that if the Australians had put pressure on Johnny May, on the winger, then the story could have been very, very different. Had they made sure that their defences were strong in that part of the pitch, really addressing the potential threat of Johnny May, then the score could have been very, very different. But they didn't put the pressure on. And that's where I'm going to liken Johnny May, and I hope he never hears this, to a little toe, to the little pinky, or to this little piggy went to market. Because the little toe, if it gets pressure on it, will not behave properly, not perform properly. It won't be able to succeed in its function. Johnny May succeeded in his function. He was able to perform properly because there was no pressure on him. But the little toe, the fifth ray, does very often get too much pressure on it. And pressure is probably the biggest thing that can cause problems in the fifth ray, little toe of the foot. So I'm just going to read through some of the things we talked about earlier on. We talked about corns. Well, they come because of pressure. Callus comes because of pressure and friction as well, but pressure. Soft corns in between the toes come from pressure. A thing called a Lister corn or Durlacher corn, which is down the side of the little toenail. That comes because of pressure. A bony growth, extrososis, that comes because of pressure. Onychogryphosis, which is a thickening of the toenail, but comes because of pressure. Often fungus gets in when a nail is damaged, and that is because of pressure. The Taylor's bunion, bump on the outside edge of the joint with the little toe, that can come because of pressure. And toes curling in, the little toe curling over time, again, due to pressure. So there are so many problems that come about because of pressure, but we need to talk about that. And there's various things that can cause pressure, of course. Number one on most people's minds is footwear. Most ladies' shoes, a lot of ladies' shoes anyway, forget that people actually have five toes. You know, that if you were to put your foot on a piece of card and draw around your foot and then draw around the inner sole of a lady's shoe, you'd be amazed at how you ever get a foot in there, because quite often the point is so much that it just would, it just cuts off the little toe in effect, and there's no room for it. But you squeeze your foot in there and you get that little toe in there. But the little toe is under pressure. It's not able to perform properly. Okay, and so bear that in mind when you're buying shoes. Make sure you get a shoe which has got enough room in it. We're talking width, so it's not too pointed. And we're talking width across the ball of the foot, so that the actual the area of the bunion on the big toe and the Taylor's bunion area on the little toe, that isn't getting too much pressure on it. We're talking about the depth as well. The depth of the toe box is really important as well. If you've got enough room in the shoe, that is a big start to making sure that you don't have complications, because there's no pressure there. Really, really important that is with kids as well, because kids' bones are not fully formed. So if you've got too tight a shoe, big problems can occur. Also, it's not just about pressure from shoes. It also can be the way your foot is working. And there are various conditions which mean that the foot is going to roll out onto the outside edge excessively. And we do gait analysis on people. We video people walking and have a look at them barefoot walking. What is the foot trying to do? Because whatever it's trying to do barefoot, it will be trying to do within the shoe. Okay, you can't see what it's doing within the shoe necessarily, but it will be trying to do that. And if it's getting abnormal pressure on it, again, it can't function properly. And in fact, over time, it's likely to have some big issues occur to it. So things that start off really without any discomfort can come debilitating. And in the case of diabetes, can actually lead to an amputation. So what can happen? Well, we've mentioned calluses coming. Calluses, hard skin. Hard skin comes as a result of friction and pressure to try and protect that area. If it's allowed to build up that pressure, then it becomes a corn. That corn, if it's allowed to build up even more, gets blood squeezed into it because the pressure's so much. And if it's allowed to build up even more, then it can ulcerate into a wound. And that can have dramatic effects if you have got diabetes. Those corns and calluses I just mentioned there, really, most people see them as coming on the outside of the little toe, where the shoe hits it. But actually, the pressure from the shoe or from the way the foot's working can put pressure in between the toes as well. So you can actually have a callus and you can have a corn in between the toe. And because there's not much air getting in there and it's a bit damp and sweaty, it all looks a bit soggy and usually a little bit white looking. And we call those soft corns, okay? Soft corn you might think, oh, that's going to be comfortable, it's not going to be horrible. But actually, they can be really, really painful and they can get infections in them as well. So important for us to consider that. If the pressure is allowed to really build up, then actually the bone responds by creating a bony prominence. And that can happen actually in between the toes as well, on the little toe. And that can cause problems there. Sometimes you have to have surgery to remove that little bit of bone so that you don't get that corn in between the toes. The thickened nail that I mentioned, onychoglyphosis, it can happen to any nail, but the little toe quite commonly, because of course the little toe is the one that gets bashed a lot of the time as well, because it's in a vulnerable place on the outside of your foot. It can get bashed against the bed, bashed against the table, foot, whatever it might be. It's very, very prone to that. And that damage can cause both fractures within the bones, but it can also cause ligament strain, and it can also cause damage to the tissues, including the nail bed, so that the nail grows thickened. Now, as we're talking about the first ray and not just the little toe, I also want to just mention the metatarsal, which is the smallest of the metatarsals. And being on the outside edge, it can be prone to problems. So if you were to go over on your ankle, for example, the peroneal muscle, the peroneal tertius, and peroneal brevis, which attach to the base of the fifth metatarsal. Peroneus brevis actually attaches to the styloid process of the metatarsal. It can actually avulse that styloid process. That means it can break off that little bit of bone. You can also get a Jones fracture, which is the fracture of the base of the fifth metatarsal, where the base of it joins the shaft of it. It can snap off and quite difficult to heal up as well, particularly if your foot is working abnormally and you are rolling out onto that outside edge. It's just going to be giving it more and more problems. If you think you've fractured that, obviously go and get it x-rayed, have a look at to see if it is. Another way that you can see if there's likely to be a fracture in a bone is the type of pain. So a real sort of aching pain that nags overnight as well. And if you subject it to some vibration, if you've got a way of creating some vibration on that, then it is likely to exacerbate the discomfort, the pain. That's one of the things we do in clinic with a tuning fork. We can hit the tuning fork, make it vibrate, pop that on the bony prominence. And if it starts getting more painful as soon as we do that, then it's a pretty good sign that it's likely to have a fracture in there. So what can we do about all these problems? Not so much the fractures. The fractures, you know, obviously you need to go and get that seen to, and probably will be non-weight bearing for a while for that to just really heal up, maybe in an air cast. But what can we do about the other things we talked about earlier? Corns, soft corns, blisters. What can we do about those? Well, there's various things we can do. We mentioned footwear, making sure you've got the right footwear. And by the way, a footwear that is ideal to prevent problems in the forefoot is one which has got a lace or a strap to hold the foot back in the shoe. But other things that you can do as well are little pads to reduce the pressure. So you can get gel pads. We actually make in clinic some silicon mixture up, which can be molded to the shape of your toes, and we can put a little mold in between the toes. That's something else that we can do. We can alter the pressure coming on that part of the foot by changing the way your foot's working. And that usually involves us doing gait analysis, having a look at how your foot is working, having a look into your foot structure, and then making insoles to correct the way your foot's working so you're not putting loads of pressure on that side. So there's loads of things that we can do. So in a minute, we're going to have our final song. And whilst we listen to that, I would like you just to give some thought to, have you ever had pain in that area of your foot? Have you ever just pushed it to one side? Pain in the little toe and that fifth metatarsal. Maybe you are aware that there are some things going on. Maybe you're not. Maybe you've never really even looked at it. Well, pop your foot up, get your sock off, have a look. Wiggle that little pinky around and see, has it got any hard skin on it? Has it got a thickened nail? Has it got anything going on in between the toes? Any athlete's foot or any calluses going on in between there? Have a look and see, are there any bony changes? And then, of course, consider getting something done about it. Consider seeing a podiatrist, getting some advice about it. That is all we've got time for today. You've been listening to the Foot Health Show here on UK Health Radio. And we're going to close out quite aptly, I think, with a song by Queen and David Bowie. And the song is Under Pressure.
keep coming up with love, but it's so slashed and torn.
Why?
That's all we've got time for this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining me here on the Foot Health Show on UK Health Radio, your global, real, feel-good radio station. All that remains is for me to say, have a fantastic week. Keep safe, keep those legs and feet moving, and don't forget to tune in again with your friends next week.